श्रृण्वन्ति गायन्ति गृह्णन्ति अभिक्ष्मसा स्मरन्ति नन्दन्ति च वेहितं जना ते एव पश्यन्ति यच्छिरेण धावकम् अवाप्रवाहो परमं पदं भुजम् ओ कृष्ण Those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see Him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. In this verse, Queen Kunti in her beautiful prayers is sharing with all of us her sublime realization. After being put through so many trials and tribulations in life, after seeing her near and dear and loved ones being put into predicaments of losing all their wealth, losing their fame and prestige, having to undergo terrible, long hardships, and at every moment on the verge of losing their very lives. She had seen the worst of the tragedies of this material world. And that in the end she was coronated along with her sons as the kings and queens of the whole planet. In this way she also experienced the best, the most wonderful situation possible, according to our material mind and senses. So she had seen the best and the worst of this entire world. And through it all, she was constantly remembering Krishna. Like a lotus flower, sometimes it is in the clear, pristine waters. And sometimes the lotus flower is in polluted, muddy, contaminated waters. But for the lotus flower, it makes no difference. It always remains pure. It always remains clean, unaffected by the changes of the waters. Why? Because the roots of the lotus flower are always within the ground. Similarly, when our consciousness is always connected through Krishna, through remembering Him, we become transcendental to the inevitable changes of this material existence. Sometimes there is victory, sometimes defeat. Sometimes gain, sometimes loss. Sometimes honor and sometimes dishonor. Sometimes success, sometimes failure. Sometimes health, sometimes disease. Sometimes pleasure and other times pain. You cannot avoid the changes of this material existence. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Material nature is constantly in a condition of transformation. You cannot hold on to any situation of life for very long. It is beyond our power. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us, do not be attached to any situation in this world. Be attached to Krishna. To always remembering Krishna. To never forgetting Krishna. Because only in remembrance of Krishna, which comes through hearing and chanting his glories, can we be like that lotus flower, pure, unaffected, revealing its true beauty and quality in the face of all circumstances of this world. And this is the great boon, the great benediction that all the great devotees request from the Lord, simply to always remember him, simply to always be in the company of his devotees, simply to always be living for his pleasure. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, one day he came to the house of Srivas Thakur. And he displayed his Mahaprakash. He began to reveal his divine love for all of his devotees and fulfill all of their desires. Within this Mahaprakash, at one time he called for one of his devotees. His name was Gangadas. Gangadas, when Lord Chaitanya was very young, he was Nimai's school teacher. But long before even Nimai was born, Gangadas was living in Navadvip. So when he came before the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, who was then revealing his supreme glory as Param Brahman, the absolute truth, he said, do you remember, Gangadas, many, many years ago when you were living at home and some dacoit government officials came to raid your house and to violate the chastity of your wife and daughters and to plunder everything you had? Do you remember that? Do you remember when they came, you escaped, and they were hunting for you, and you ran from them, and you came to the river Ganges? And it was the night. It was pitch dark. And you knew that soon the sun would rise, and you would be discovered, and you would be beaten, and your family would be misused. At that time, you remembered me. You began to cry, remembering the Lord. At that time, a boatman, what would a boatman be doing in the Ganges of the middle of the night? But miraculously, a boatman came, and you cried out, please, I will give you anything, boatman, but just carry me across the river to escape. I want you to know that I incarnated from Vaikuntha to become that boatman to save you. And after carrying you across the river, I returned to my spiritual abode. Whenever the Lord remembers his, whenever the devotee remembers his Lord in a helpless feeling of shelter, the Lord can perform any miracle by purposely rescuing his devotee. Upon hearing this, Gangadas, who never knew the truth of this boatman for so many long years, he fell to the ground in ecstatic love. Then Lord Chaitanya called, my dear devotees, bring Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar was a simple banana salesman. He used to take the different parts of the banana trees, the flower,
called the banana. He would take the root and cut it in pieces, and he would sell it. He was a very poor man. His whole family was wearing rags. He lived in a little straw hut. But he was so honest, he would never, even in a dream, think of cheating anyone or even overcharging them the slightest. He would give everyone the minimal price. And whatever he collected, first thing he would do is divide it in half and use half of it to worship Mother Ganges. Knowing that Mother Ganges is so dear to the Supreme Lord Vishnu, having come from her feet, his feet, and knowing that the Mother Ganges is rendering such great service to the Lord Narayan because she is purifying everyone who comes to bathe in her. There's no greater service than showing compassion to suffering humanity. And how much Mother Ganges is incessantly showing that compassion to all living beings who even come close to her breeze, they become purified. What to speak of when they bathe in her sacred ambrosial waters. And after offering half of his income for the worship of Ganga, the other half, his family barely survived. And it is described that Sridhar, at night, and throughout the day as well, he was constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna. In the night, he would be in such ecstatic love, he would chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And in this way, he would keep the neighbors awake. And in those days, most everybody in Navadvip was a very, very materialistic person. So they used to condemn and criticize Sridhar. They used to scream obscenities and all types of blasphemies toward him. Why don't you worship some demigod and get some material benediction so you're not so poor and hungry? It is because you are so hungry that due to the pains of hunger, you are simply screaming all night, you cannot even sleep. And they would take some old stale piece of food and throw it. Take this, eat it, and go to sleep. Don't bother us anymore. But Sridhar, he did not mind what anyone had to think. He knew that Krishna is most pleased when we chant his holy names. So he just continued throughout the night loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Little Nimai Pandit. This is when before he revealed himself as God. When he was a child, he was pretending to be an ordinary human being. But he was so beautiful. People could not understand why they could not stop thinking of him and why they were always attracted to just having his darshan. Little Nimai would come to Sridhar and he would say, I want this banana flower, and I want this banana, and I want this banana leaf. And Sridhar would say, this is the cost. And Nimai would say, I will buy it for half. When Kolavecha Sridhar came to see Lord Chaitanya at Srivas's house, Lord Chaitanya was reminding him, do you remember this? How I used to cheat you, and how we used to argue, you would say, Nimai, if you take it from me, I'll have nothing. I'm losing. I'm giving you fair price. And Nimai would say, no, you are overcharging. You are cheating. I will give you half. And then he would start walking away. And Sridhar would go to try to stop him. But then when he would see the beauty of the Lord smiling at him, he would say, you just take it for nothing. In this way, every single day, Nimai Pandit would steal the bananas and the banana flowers from Sridhar. While reminding Sridhar of this beautiful pastime, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him how pleased he was at his unalloyed devotion. He said, ask any benediction of me. If you like, my dear Sridhar, I will give you all the 8 mystic perfections. And then right before Kolavetra Sridhar's eyes, the Lord's form transformed into the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. Standing with a blackish complexion like the tamal tree, carrying a beautiful golden flute in his hands, standing in threefold bending form. And just by his side was Balaramji. And behind him was the beautiful abode of Vrindavan. And he saw Brahma and Shiva offering services to the Lord and bowing down before him, worshipping him. Then he saw Shukadeva Goswami, Sanat Kumar, Narada Muni, Vedavyas, all standing around the Lord with great, great saints and sages by the multitudes offering prayers. And Kolavetra Sridhar fell to the ground unconscious in ecstatic love. Then the Lord said, get up, Sridhar. Will you take the 8 mystic perfections which yogis go to the caves of the Himalayas for many, many births to achieve? Sridhar said, no, I do not want that. Well, will you accept elevation to Brahmaloka or Indraloka, or I'll give you your own heavenly planet if you so desire. I'll give you unlimited material prosperity. No, my Lord, I do not want that. Then Sridhar, please take liberation, mukti. No more birth, no more death, no more suffering forever. My Lord, I do not want liberation. Then I will give you elevation to Vaikuntha, where you can eternally associate with me in a divine love. My Lord, I don't want Vaikuntha either. Then I will give you eternal residence in the supreme abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where you can enter into eternal ras with me. My Lord, I do not want that either. Mahaprabhu became very much anxious. I must give you something. You must accept something. What will you take from me? Sridhar said, I only ask one benediction from you. That in my heart, I can always remember that beautiful little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. Whatever I have is yours, my Lord. When he said this, all the devotees present, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, began to weep in divine joy. And Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Sridhar as if he had thousands of mouths. The Lord's greatest pleasure is to glorify his devotees. And then he called Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta stood before the Lord, and right before his eyes, the Lord's form changed into that of Lord Sri Ramchandra. The beautiful greenish complexion, beautiful golden crown, holding his celebrated bow and arrow. And by his side was Sita and Lakshman. And Murari Gupta fell to the ground, unconscious. in transcendental love. And then Mahaprabhu, he said, get up, Murari. You are none other than the incarnation of Hanuman. Do not you remember? And then he said that Ravana has stolen Sita. And Lakshman has been hit by the arrow of Indrajit. And we need the mountain, Gandhamandana, right away. Please go get it, Hanuman. Why are you laying there? Immediately, Murari Gupta woke up. And he remembered his eternal identity as Hanumanji. And then Lord Chaitanya, then he transformed again into Lord Gauranga. He said, Murari Gupta, please ask any benediction from me. Murari Gupta said, I do not want anything from you, my lord. I am your servant. No, you must ask for some boon. If you must give me something, kindly give me this. That I never forget you. Let me take birth, if you so desire, again and again and again in this world. But in every situation of life, I pray to you, Lord, that I will always remember you, and I will always be in the service of your devotees. This is the only benediction I ask. Then Lord Chaitanya looked at Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas, do you remember when you were sentenced to death because you were constantly preaching the glories of the holy name? And they condemned you to be beaten with sticks and canes and whips through 22 marketplaces as these savage demons were treacherously beating your back. Narayan, my divine form in Vaikuntha, became so angry that I came to this earth with my Sudarshan Chakra. And I went to release it, to sever the heads of these asuras. But you did not care the slightest for the inconvenience you were suffering by being brutally beaten and whipped. You were compassionately praying for the welfare of the people trying to murder you. You were simply praying to me incessantly, please forgive them and give them your devotional service. At that time, although I wanted to kill them, your love for them was so great that my Sudarshan Chakra became impotent. It did not work. And because I could not punish them, because of the power of your compassion, I put my back on your back to protect you from the pain. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted his chadar and showed on his back all the scars and brutal whippings. And Haridas Thakur, upon seeing this, fell to the ground, praying in ecstatic. Mahaprabhu said, please, Haridas, what you have undergone for me, I grant you any boon. Ask for any desire to be fulfilled. Haridas Thakur replied, my dear Lord, simply remembering you is the greatest benediction in all of creation. Draupadi, when she was dragged into the Kauravas arena, about to be derobed, She simply remembered you by chanting your holy name, and you miraculously entered into her sari to make it unlimited and to save her from disgrace. And Prahlad Maharaj, his father Hiranyakashipu, was throwing him in fire, throwing him in boiling water, feeding him dangerous poison. But simply because he was always remembering you, you not only saved him from all these calamities, but you appeared in the most wonderful form of Narasimhadev just to satisfy all his desires. And the Pandavas, when they were living in the Kamyavan forest, Duravas Muni came with his 60,000 disciples. And if you did not feed them properly, he would have cursed you and cursed all of your family members. But there was no food in the house, and the magic pot of Draupadi had already been eaten from. At that time, when Duravas Muni went to bathe in the river, Yudhisthira Maharaj and Draupadi and all the five Pandavas, they had no alternative, nowhere else to turn. They simply began to remember you. And as they remembered you with divine love, you appeared out of nowhere to their door to take one little morsel of vegetable from the pot and thus completely satisfy the entire universe, including Duravas, and they had to go away. This is the power of the remembrance of you. And then Haridas remembered Ajamil, who due to bad association, he became a sinner. He became the rogue. He became a thief. He was addicted to intoxications and illicit sex. He completely abandoned any sense of religion in his life. But at the last moment, when it was time for his death, the Yamadutas were approaching him. And he called the name of his son, Narayan. But because when he was a child, he was actually a religious person. When he called the name of his son, Narayan, he remembered the real Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And simply by remembering you, the Vishnu Dutas came and they drove the Yamadutas away and they gave Ajamil the opportunity to perfect his life. This is the power of remembering you, my Lord. But Haridas was thinking. He spoke in this way that, my Lord, I am so sinful that I cannot even remember you. Although I'm low-born and addicted to all kinds of terrible, terrible habits, still, without any qualifications, undeserving, you have exalted me by making me a Vaishnava. But I am unable to properly remember you. And Haridas felt himself unqualified to even ask the Lord to give him the benediction that he could remember him. So therefore, he said, if you must give me a benediction, please give me this, that by your causeless mercy, I will have the great, great fortune of receiving the remnants of the food that has been left behind by the devotees who have given their lives in your service. I may not be able to remember you, but please, birth after birth after birth, just let me have the remnants of the food of those who do remember you. A Haridas explains that the benediction I ask for is that you allow me to become a dog in the house of a Vaishnava. When the devotee saw the genuine humility of Haridas Thakur, they all became struck with wonder. In fact, it is said by the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat that anyone who even hears this beautiful narration of Haridas Thakur's humility and love will undoubtedly attain, in due course of time, pure love of God. Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, the river Ganges, you are such a devotee that the river Ganges takes the greatest pleasure simply to come to bathe you for her own purification. Anyone who even sees you, what to speak of render some service to you, is endowed with the supreme mercy of the Lord. He said, because whatever anyone does for you, they are doing for me. Lord Chaitanya taught us, whatever you say about a devotee, whatever you do to a devotee or for a devotee, is what you do to Krishna. If you blaspheme a devotee, you blaspheme Krishna. If you glorify a devotee, you glorify Krishna. If you offer a gift to a devotee, that gift is accepted by Krishna. If you mistreat a devotee, Krishna accepts that mistreatment upon himself. That is the nature of the divine love of Krishna toward his devotee. And here we find the quality of his devotees, that they consider the supreme wealth, the supreme benediction in all of creation, to remember Krishna. Mahaprabhu prayed, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamaneshwari bhavatad bhakti rahoita kitvai. I do not want wealth, because what is wealth? Today, here, today, tomorrow, gone. If you have it, you use it in Krishna's service. But in and of itself, it's simply a burden. If wealth is not connected to the service of Krishna, wealth is simply a burden of bondage and attachment. If it's used in the service of Krishna, it becomes a wonderful facility to do wonderful things for God and humanity. He said, I do not want even liberation or any amount of pleasure, nor fame or distinction. I only want to be your servant. I only want to remember you. At the time of death, all your education, all your talents, all your acquirements, whatever position you have put yourself in this world, it will be of no avail. At the time of death, the only one single thing that can save you is to remember Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajacham te kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sadatha bhava bhavata antakali chamam eva smaran mukva kalevaram. Krishna says, whatever one remembers at the time of death, that state he attains without fail. And one who remembers me at the time of death will attain me. That is my promise. So the conclusion of our life, the most desperate crisis of our life, nothing has any value except the ability to remember Krishna. So what are we living for now? Is there anything that has a priority than cultivating the remembrance of Krishna? Therefore, the great self-realized souls, they know that this is the only real benediction or boon that has any meaning, to always remember Krishna. And these great devotees, they always, along with remembering Krishna, they say, I always want to serve your devotees. Because they know that unless they're serving the Lord's devotees, the Lord will not give them remembrance of him. So what do we live for? Two things: to remember Krishna and to serve his devotees. And every other part of our life is an insignificant detail. Our family responsibilities, our occupation, these are all details. These are all temporary. But to always remember Krishna and to serve his devotees is the eternal truth. It is the prime occupation for all humanity. And of course, if we learn to remember Krishna and serve his devotees, then everything else will be provided. Does not mean that we become lazy. It does not mean that we abandon our material responsibilities. We must work, we must provide, we must take care of our family members, we must maintain all of our responsibilities in human society, especially if we are grihasthas in a household ashram. We must do it all very carefully, but we must always be conscious that these are details. The goal of my life is that everything I do helps a consciousness that is conducive to remember Krishna and serve his devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Cheto Dharapada Marajanam Bhava Mahadavadi Nirvapanam Sreya Kairava Chandra Kavataranam Vijavadhu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivaradanam Pratipadam Punam Ritashadanam Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. He says that the congregational chanting of the holy name is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Because both of these supreme benedictions, both of these supreme objects of ultimate wealth, to remember Krishna and to serve his devotees, they are both fully included within the congregational chanting of the holy name. Because the name is none different than Krishna. When we come together to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Our minds are completely immersed in remembering Krishna. And when we do it in the service of, in the company of other devotees, by our enthusiasm, by our sincerity of chanting and dancing with them, we are factually rendering the highest service to them. Because we are inducing, by our enthusiasm and our sincerity in chanting, we are influencing others to become more sincere and enthusiastic to remember Krishna. So it is for this reason that Mahaprabhu has said the congregational chanting of the holy name is the prime benediction for humanity at large. The chance to be in the kirtan of the holy name is the greatest treasure, the greatest wealth. Nothing else can compare. Because nothing is so pleasing to the Lord than intimately remembering Him and serving His devotees. One of our very dear and beloved God sisters, Meru Devi, a disciple of Srila Bhaktipad for many, many years. She is now in the hospital and she is suffering the last stages of many years of cancer. Now one may think, why does this happen to a devotee? But it happens to everyone. If you have a material body, it is subject to birth, old age, disease, and death, whether you are devotee or not devotee. But Krishna puts his devotee through different types of suffering out of his mercy to very quickly, like fire, burn all impurities from that person's heart and totally purify that person's consciousness. She never complains. She always just very humbly and quietly just wants to greet the devotees very nicely and remember Krishna. And anyone who has known her over the years can see that she has made incredible, incredible spiritual advancement through all of this. But now she's lame. Krishna's very soon going to take her to a very high abode. He is going to promote her to a higher realm of consciousness and existence, no doubt. She is willing to bear the suffering of this body and accept it as the grace of God. According to the Bhagavatam, that is the price of liberation. To undergo any suffering and thank God in remembrance is the price of liberation. And there is no other way. She cannot talk, she cannot move. She can hear and she can remember. The fact is, at the last stages of our life, most likely, we will not talk, we will not move. And all the wealth and all the prestige and all the family members we have, what can they do for us? All that's left is the ability to remember Krishna. And if we have properly served the devotees, they will be there to offer their prayers, and those prayers alone can liberate us. So I was thinking, what she would give if she could come out of that bed and come to the temple today to joyfully chant the holy names with all of her devotees and to dance with us. She would give anything and everything for one kirtan of the holy name with the devotees. And yet, we have this opportunity always. How grateful are we for it? How much are we really putting our heart and soul into it? It is a fact that the greatest treasure and gift of God in all of creation is when He gives us the chance to remember Him. And the most wonderful process of remembering Him is to come together amongst the Vaishnavas to chant His holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
So we should all pray with sincere hearts to Sri Radha Gopinath that their causeless mercy be upon Nehru Devi and upon all suffering souls of this world.